This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's what I'm talking about. 6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, owner of Fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today as the Yankees finally put a little win streak together before the Red Sox tell them that they're not going to win the division. Aaron Judge hits his fifth home run since the All-Star break. And Severino is the best thing they've had all year long. Meanwhile, of course, the New York Mets tell you within the first 20 minutes the reason to watch us play last night. And from the broadcast booth to the field, who's next? And did they call Tony Romo at all? Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy?
You know, I'm doing great. No, I don't think Tony Romo was called by the Miami Dolphins. I can tell you that. But
they called Tim Tebow.
I think if you're Jay Cutler and you're going to get $10 million plus incentives, maybe you can make it up to $20 million. Who knows? I think it's a great job for you. It's a great opportunity. Just add water. You know the coach. The coach knows you. You have this mercurial personality trait about you and all that other stuff that seemed like Adam Gase kind of got to him when he was coaching him in Chicago. So it kind of makes a little sense here for Miami to do this, especially with Ryan Tannehill on his knee. And it's unfortunate. You hate to see stuff like that happen. But
they feel part of that whole thing, though.
I know
it's
that.
Like, it was like Met-esque.
Yeah, it was. Well, look who's running the franchise.
Exactly right. I don't care about the Dolphins too much. But long story short, Tannehill had the injury last year. They decided not to have the surgery. And sadly, he goes down in practice.
Right. And so Mike Tannenbaum starts getting into his Rolodex and starts calling every big name he could possibly call.
Well, not every
with the exception
name.
Of Colin Kaepernick. And right. Most likely because of his pro-Castro stance, this is probably going to be the argument now about Colin Kaepernick not getting a job there. You know, the interesting thing about all of this, and we've been off for a week, and I know that you were away for a little bit, the whole Richard Sherman, Colin Kaepernick thing is really kind of an interesting thing to me. I'll never change Richard Sherman's mind, never right. want to try to change his mind, and he's going to be great TV if he wants to do it one
Absolutely
day.
Absolutely right.
I mean, I think he's emboldened now because he's got a very good contract, he's on a very good team, and he's got a great platform, so he could say whatever he wants about Colin Kaepernick. And the whole thing is he's calling out other teams and how crappy their quarterbacks are, the Jets included, yep. and everything else, and how Colin Kaepernick deserves a chance in the NFL, and he's being blackballed. Now, blackballed is a very strong word. I don't believe that's what's happening, but I do believe his political stance about taking a knee on the field during the national anthem, which originally started with him sitting down
right.
and wearing pig socks. If everybody tends right. to forget all that stuff. But I do believe that's the reason why he's not
That's the
signed.
Only reason.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
That reason, and also the thought process that he wasn't a very – even though he had good stats last year for San Francisco, that he wasn't a first guy in, last guy out type of quarterback.
I don't know why people are so surprised by it. We all know why he's not being signed.
But my point being in regards to Richard Sherman, you should stop worried about the other 31 teams in the league.
Right.
Your team was the first team that went down this road
right.
and kind of explored whether or not they should sign him. And you and your teammate Michael Bennett basically came out and said, we want him. Put him on our team. Your own team did not sign him.
Right.
You should be asking your owner and your coach why you didn't sign him and stop worrying about everybody else
right.
in this league.
And that's what it is. It's a yell and scream why every opportunity that comes up, he's not getting the opportunity to be signed there. You had a chance. You needed a backup quarterback. Your team brought him in, worked at A to Z.
They brought him in like 2 months ago.
Yeah, and they said no. So you're right. So it's easy for Richard Sherman now to claim there's a black ball going on, that the Jets, the Dolphins, whoever, but it doesn't matter who he picks. His own team had him there. He was all, and he publicly advocated to sign him, and they didn't sign him. And listen, we all know why. This is not a referendum on whether or not Colin Kaepernick has the ability to still play football. He probably does.
Well, the one thing I don't know about.
The referendum is each individual owner, and if you take out half the teams that don't need a quarterback, to be fair.
Right, yeah.
It's not 32 teams. Let's say it's a dozen. Ballpark.
Okay, sure. Right? Even for a backup, yes.
Right. So we're not talking about the whole league. Out of the dozen or so teams that needed a quarterback, a backup quarterback, they each individually decided the negative stuff that comes with him, whether you agree with it or not, it's irrelevant, was not worth it because they're looking for a backup quarterback, and you don't need a backup quarterback that brings drama to you, whether it's self-inflicted or not. So why is that? I don't understand why everyone's so surprised that Kaepernick has not gotten a job.
I don't think anybody's surprised. I just think that there are players that believe in Colin Kaepernick's message that he started this movement for these players somewhere along the line. You know, obviously Ray Lewis, my new partner at Inside the NFL, gets hammered because of this whole thing. And you know, the point being is, I still have not heard from Colin Kaepernick himself.
Right.
I don't even know if he wants to play. Everybody's assuming that he wants to play. And then I'm saying to myself, last week when Joe Flacco's back goes out and the Baltimore Ravens are thinking, okay, now we're going to go down that road.
Right.
And then I'm saying, is John Harbaugh trying to get himself fired? And the reason I say that is because he is out there on record saying, oh, I've been talking to Colin Kaepernick. You know, my brother had him. Our running game coordinator, Greg Roman, was his offense coordinator in San Francisco. We all know him. He's a good guy. We like him.
Right.
You know, it's saying all those things. But yet they still haven't signed him. And supposedly they still haven't signed him because the owner down there, Steve Bisciotti, who I know very well, basically has reached out to Ray Lewis and reached out to a lot of different people. They're sending out trial balloons to see how their fans are going to react to it and all that other stuff. And I'm like, I can't believe that John Harbaugh would put his owner out there on an island like he has.
Yep.
Like, hey, I'm all for it. Bring him in here. But yet, we haven't signed him because maybe my owner doesn't want to sign him.
And I'll do you one better than that, just to wrap the thought, to start the show off on Kaepernick.
Yes.
The one aspect of the Kaepernick story that Richard Sherman forgets, that the people that are pro-Kaepernick forget, that don't want to you know, talk about the entire story. Everyone thinks that Colin Kaepernick was cut by the Niners and nobody wants him. He opted out of a contract that would have guaranteed him $14.5 million.
Right.
He opted out. He walked away from $14.5 million guaranteed, because at the time they thought he was their franchise quarterback. That was part of the deal. So why is everyone so worried about Colin Kaepernick not getting an opportunity when he not only had an opportunity, he had $14.5 million guaranteed? He walked away. The Niners didn't kick him out. They didn't have the right to, contractually.
Right.
So that's it on that. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees, thank God they won a couple games here, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that Indian series started out.
Well, it's the way the Detroit Tigers series
ended. And Detroit, right? And the Red Sox got a little win streak, so they're three up right now. And the Yankees, they need...
They
needed those wins,
A couple things about the Yankees. Number one, Matt Holliday needed to get out of the lineup. So if they found that he had a back problem, they put him on the DL and give him a couple weeks off. Good, because they needed to. He was basically a black hole in the lineup.
Yep.
Number two, I love the fact that Joe Girardi is basically getting after Sanchez now.
What's the next
and
thing?
Here's the thing. Stop reading your press clippings from last year. It's a 162-game baseball season. You have responsibilities. And I know that it's a long season. And for young guys, for the first time really going through the entire season, they're going to be days where there's a lack of awareness, a lack of follow-through, a lack of preparedness. There's going to be a lot of problems for younger players. And I think as much as I like Aaron Judge, and I think we all like Aaron Judge, even he's gone through it where, you know, it's like, oh, my God, every freaking day I got to get up there.
What's wrong with Aaron Judge?
And it seems like every day there's a chance in the ninth inning for him to win the game, and he can't come through. Well, you know what? That's why it's so hard to be a baseball player and play 162 games. And if you're not used to doing it and you aren't under that constant amount of pressure, and that's why guys like Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and, you know, all the great players in baseball today understand how to deal with that pressure and how to, you know, perform pretty much I would say 75% of the time they're out there performing at their highest level.
Yeah, that's the
as
difference.
Opposed to 50% of the time that young kids are trying to figure it out. So I would probably chalk it up to youthful inexperience, if you will. And I would say that Joe Girardi kind of relighting the lamp and putting the and putting the focus on Gary Sanchez, I think is a smart thing.
And I don't remember the last time he ever did it like that. Where you bench a guy a couple games in a row, you come out publicly and talk about, he's got to get better at, defensively, 11 pass balls, whatever it is. So I loved it because you're right. Gary Sanchez, based on what we thought he was going to do this year and what he's done are two different stories.
He's got like 14 errors,
yeah.
I think.
And then you hear the same thing about him. You heard about a lot of the Mets this year where, he put up too much, bulk and size. Whatever, man. Just go out there and play baseball like we know you're capable of. I liked it. I liked it a lot because, the Yankees make the moves they made while we were away.
Oh.
That is an announcement. We're going for it. We're trying to win a World Series right now, getting Sonny Gray and all that other stuff, right?
Yep.
And then when you win one, and then you win a little losing streak, and the team just didn't look right.
Dude, they added five guys to their roster. Yep. They added, obviously, Frazier. They added Robertson. They added Canely. They added now Gray and Garcia.
Right.
I mean, they basically.
They're going for a World Series.
I mean, come on. And I don't know how, when I look at Brian Cashman, what he did last year at this time, and now what he's doing this year at this time. And I know he had to give up some assets, and who knows if those assets are going to turn out. You never know if they're going to turn out to be a Fulmer, Cespedes gave the Tigers.
Right.
But I think if you're Brian Cashman, I mean, you did an unbelievable job.
Yeah, and you had Sonny Gray, who's here for a couple years now, and he's under 30, all that stuff. But you still got to go out there. Here's what's funny about, baseball. I was talking to my kids last night about the Dodgers, because what they're doing right now is just stupid. NEI, they sweep the Mets, blah, blah, blah. But, when you get to mid-October, winning 110 games doesn't mean nothing.
It doesn't mean anything.
Right. You still have to go out there and now go win. It's funny. I heard Ed Randall yesterday had, who do you have on? Jeff Nelson, all right? And Jeff Nelson was on the 114-win Yankee team.
Right.
And Jeff Nelson remarked how, there was a point during the season when they were just on cruise control. They just beat everybody, right? And George Steinbrenner came to them and, read them the Riot Act, as I'm telling the third-person story here, because he knew the way people are. You're just beating everyone by showing up. That's going to screw you in October.
Yeah.
And he goes, one day, and I'm paraphrasing a story, he goes, he read it from the Riot Act, and we're 30 games over 500.
Like, which one of these teams right now that is floating around the playoffs is going to catch fire here late in August and early September and then take that momentum
and take it
all the way to the World Series? It's like the Seattle Mariner, that team with the A-Rod and Griffey and those guys. I think they won 116 games maybe or somewhere around there and didn't win a World Series. And I hear guys like Ron Darling and Jeff Nelson. Nobody remembers those teams. Why? Because they didn't win the World Series.
And you got to win the World Series,
right? And that's what you have to do. But I will say this: the Dodgers have $258 million tied into this year's team. $90 million of it is actually active and on the field.
Right. And they're doing it themselves.
And they're doing it without Clayton Kershaw right now.
Meanwhile, it seemed like every move the Mets made was to try to prevent the Yankees from winning the World Series. Who are you doing deals with? You that upset about what the Yankees are doing? So we'll get to all that stuff. Kaepernick, the Yankees, the Mets, and a lot of stuff in between. Charles Oakley, A-Rod had a lot to say. Tim Tebow setting records. I would have loved to have heard the conversation if it got that far. From Mike Tannenbaum.
It did.
I don't know if we got how real it got.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to have heard when Tebow's phone rings and it's Tannenbaum again, just kicking the tires. I would have loved to have heard how that went.
You have to remember that Adam Gase was the quarterback coach for Tim Tebow when they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs in Denver.
With Denver, right.
So he obviously knows Tim Tebow. I don't think that's realistic. I can't believe that Mike Tannenbaum would go down that road again to get fired again for that.
What was it? Kyle Orton, Tim Tebow,
right.
And Cutler. No Tony Romo, though.
And no Colin Kaepernick.
And no Colin Kaepernick. Real quick, Sergio's in Wall, New Jersey on the Fan. Hey, Serge, what's going on, buddy?
Hello!
What's happening, Serge?
Good morning, boys. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Hey, listen, I just want to touch base. I know you guys just, scratched the surface a little bit with Cap.
Yeah.
But, there's 32 owners in the football, in the NFL now. It's up to those 32 owners who they bring in and who they get rid of. I mean, they have that right. Now, everybody's, you know, going haywire and still talking about this Kaepernick thing when, you know, his protest and everything that's self-inflicted, as you said, Craig, obviously that's the truth. Now, the other thing, too, is, you know, nobody's bringing up the fact that he's hypocritical. Like, why would you put on a Fidel Castro T-shirt if you're for people that are being oppressed and suppressed?
Sure.
Meanwhile, you're supporting Fidel Castro. And then not only on top of that, well, you're on the sidelines with pigs, police, socks.
Listen, it's Sergio, I hear what you're saying, and I don't want to speak for a boomer, but I think we're in lockstep on this. You know, the fact that people don't understand why he's not getting a chance or are bothered by the fact that no team has brought him in, to me, is comical. Because because here's the rhetoric. No one has come out and said he can't play anymore.
Right.
What they're saying without saying it is, you know, let's say the 8 to 12 teams or so that may have needed a backup quarterback is, listen, we got enough crap to deal with every day of the week. We got 53 players. We got another 100 people that work for the organization. We got stuff going on. Training camps are starting. All the crap that's going on, right? The last thing we need is to invest not in a starting quarterback, but a guy in theory we hope never plays because he's the backup and negative attention for bringing that guy in.
Well, I think they were thinking in Baltimore that if Joe Flacco's back is as bad as some were thinking, that he would actually come in there and run the offense because they don't believe in Ryan Mallett. But I would just say this. The counter, maybe some of the way that we think about it, and I think about the way Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett and some other players think about it, which I'm never going to change their minds, and I'm not trying to change their minds.
Sure.
They can say whatever they want. That's why I think they'll be good at what they do later on. But the thing is that there were other players that did exactly what Colin Kaepernick did. Not so much exactly where sitting down during the national anthem and wearing the pig socks. They didn't do that. They knelt with him after he met with Harry Edwards, the civil rights activist, and they nuanced the message and they basically packaged him up and said, this is what you need to say. This is how you need to say it. And they got him straight. So there were other players that did that. And those other players, you know, are still in the league. And some actually even got, you know, contract extensions or raises.
Because they were never viewed as him.
The face of it.
Right. Other guys showing solidarity with a fellow player was almost respected in some circles, which I think it was. But he was the linchpin of it. And that's how it goes. And by the way, to his credit, he's never shied away from it. He took full ownership of it,
right,
good and bad. And now he's not playing. And why do we care so much? Like, what's everyone's affinity for Colin Kaepernick?
Well, it's not everyone. It happens to be the black player. It happens to be a number of advocates out there that are, you know, on blog sites or writers in newspapers. And you know, Mike Florio for Pro Football Talk is almost his mouthpiece.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't see what I don't understand is why, for whomever it is, whether it's a Florio, whether it's a player, it doesn't matter to me. What I'm trying to figure out is why is it so important for you personally that he plays? That's the part I don't get. Now, if you know him personally, you grew up with him, he's a family friend, whatever it might be, and you have an affinity for him, as I do Ray Rice,
yes,
and I wish Ray had gotten another chance to play. Outside of that, why does anyone give a damn?
Yeah, but you know, a lot of people will say that, you know, the NFL is filled with, you know, domestic violence and guys who beat their kids with sticks and stuff
right,
like that.
And they're right.
And they're okay to be able to play, but for some reason Colin Kaepernick can't play because he has this political viewpoint, and he knelt during the national anthem. I don't know. How do you rectify that in your head? Like, because you're one, all right, I want Ray Rice to play.
I think what Ray did is worse, for sure. Not even debatable. What he did is worse. I understand why he's not playing. I respect the fact that teams don't want to bring him in based on that. I know Ray on a different level, so I know what he's done since then,
yep,
which is why I feel strongly about. I wish he'd had the opportunity. But, again, I don't lose sleep over it. It's Ray's life, and I just know him personally. Now, there's guys that have done what he's done who I don't know personally, who it's easy to just say, that guy should never play again. So let me be clear. What Ray did that night is far worse than what Colin Kaepernick did. And if you have an agenda that no one who does it should be allowed to play, I get that
completely. But that's why I'm asking you. You think that Ray Rice should have gotten another chance.
Based on what he did post incident.
All right, yeah, post incident, because he basically did everything that was asked of him, and then even more, and has actually gone around and spoken about his, kind of like I always say about Pete Rose. If Pete Rose would be more like that, more of an advocate, maybe you'd be more supportive. Not in light of the latest story about Pete Rose. So here's the other aspect then. Why? So you're okay. See, because you are so adamant that you did not want Colin Kaepernick on the Jets. There's no way in the world you want him on the Jets. Would you want the Jets to sign Ray Rice, even though in your eyes what Ray Rice did is worse?
We're assuming Ray was healthy enough to play and capable of playing?
Yes.
I would have had no problem with Ray Rice playing. And that's the hypocrisy of what I'm saying.
Right.
And I couldn't be more transparent about it. What Ray did was worse. And if the Jets brought Ray in, I would support it. Yes. And I don't know if that's you, whatever. I said it myself. It's hypocritical for me to say it. Guilty as charged. But one guy I know personally, and that's why I feel the way I feel about it. Listen, Ray.
Plus you watched.
I know what the guy's done.
So where we sit today talking about Ray Rice is not where you were or where you would have been 3 years ago.
No, of course not.
It's because of the way the man's lived his life and the examples that he has set and how he is trying to make the situation better for other people. Yeah,
and I firmly believe that had he been 100% healthy his last year in football and played the way he played previously to that, I think he would have gotten a job.
Right.
I think it's partially the video, which is disgusting, and then the fact that most people thought, you know what, he's beyond his prime anyway, so why take a flyer on a guy that can't play as well as he used to? I think it's a combination.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Jerry Reckless here. How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing good. We are brought to you by Movon's MVP Collections, bringing fashionable American-made clothing to big and tall men. Visit MVPCollections.com. MVPCollections.com.
Hey, Mom, I want you to meet my new girlfriend, Harmony. Let me just plug her in first so she can actually communicate with you. There's a lot of changes going on here since we left.
Are there? Like what? Oh, you mean the newsroom?
I got this construction
going
on.
Yes, that is
true. The newsroom.
Yeah.
Jerry's hosting shows.
I did one, yeah.
Yeah.
That was all.
Bart Scott lives here, basically.
He was here a couple days.
Did you actually get paid as a host or no? I'm sure TV paid you.
I have not even broached
that
subject.
Why
are we doing it here?
I mean, you're doing it for 4 hours. You should be getting paid for those 4 hours as a performer.
Right.
Like, you normally get paid to do updates.
Yes, I have a full-time job. I'm here every most days.
As an update guy, not as a host.
Correct.
Like Mark Melusis is a host. So when they say, hey, we're going to give him a shift, they may move him around because he's like the tool around here.
He's doing middays this
week. He's like a five-tool play.
Yes.
I don't know how that works. If he has a contractor, if it's each, whenever he works, he gets paid like ad hoc per show.
You mean like, so I'm just wondering, like, why wouldn't Jerry get paid as a host?
Who said he didn't get paid?
Why are we even having this discussion?
Did you get paid as a host?
Oh, yeah, I got paid as a host. We're all good. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? I think you're very – I don't believe you at all.
Well, don't believe me. That's fine.
Did you do updates?
I got paid.
Go get pizzay.
Yeah. Did you do updates?
What does that mean?
Like when you and Moose did the show together.
No, Minko was here.
So you had an update guy here.
Yes.
We did, yeah.
So he did a separate job. Pay me, bitch. That's what I'm talking about. So I think the TV paid him.
Oh, did TV pay you?
No.
Okay.
Eddie, shut up. How do you know?
Whoa!
Did you not see my paycheck or did you see my paycheck? You have no idea.
I thought TV paid you.
I'll find out.
I
don't know.
To be honest, I called the powers that be over here and I said, hey, by the way, is Jerry getting paid?
Did you really?
Yeah.
I love that.
You were bored?
I did. I just wanted to know. That's all.
And then, nut cutting time.
And then I was told, ask TV. I said, no. What about the radio part of it? That's all I wanted to know.
Right.
Man does a good day's work. He should get an honest day's pay. That's
all. Whatever the difference is between the update pay and the host pay, they should make that difference up.
That's all I think. I'm pulling for you.
I know that.
I can't imagine a significant amount of money, but they should probably do that.
Right.
I'm sure they are.
Oh, yeah.
Menches.
Menches.
I am the tiny tot of the kilowatt.
Cheap bastards. Honestly, really. I mean, they'll construct like a whole new part of the office, but I mean, come on.
Right.
Who's that even for, by the way?
Yeah, I think that's the CBS Sports Radio Network is going to put their newsroom in our newsroom now. That's what I've been told. I don't know if that's true or not.
Great. So you guys will co-op the newsroom?
We will. Yes.
Fantastic. They seem to be putting a lot of money into that network.
Well, it sounds like it. Sounds like some redundancy.
And what's the difference between the update pay and the host pay?
I have no idea.
That's the amount of money Boomer's talking about.
I do know they're hiding Zach at the moment, though, with the construction.
Is it $300, $500,
$1,000?
Super Z!
I don't know.
I think if the radio station did not pay you for your four hours, that is a disgrace.
I got
that
paid for the
sure, you know, loyal employee. You know what the people around here don't understand? They don't understand about morale, right?
Well, they've killed it. How would that?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. I'd like to think that, you know, our little show, our little fiefdom here, right?
Yeah.
We get along. We have a pretty good morale. We all look forward to coming to work every day. Is that right?
I think we do. We don't
drag on it. I'd like to think we don't drag on anybody around here. Maybe you do a little bit.
No, not even a little bit.
You sure?
Positive.
You sure you're not like a pain in the ass to the upper echelon people?
No, I don't. They love me.
Oh, okay.
They
what
do
you think about that, Al? Will you confirm that?
Well, I think whatever he does on the air. So if he is a pain in the neck to them, we hear it on the radio.
Oh, I see.
You don't think it continues thereafter?
I don't think so.
Right.
Listen, what do you want me to do? I do it to the best interest of this show.
Right.
I always think about what's good for the show.
I get it. Yeah,
sure. Everything I do is always based on whether it's bad for me, doesn't matter. Is it good for the show? That's all. Like our big event at Borgata coming up
a week
from Friday.
Yeah.
The 10th anniversary that you have heard very little about, that we're celebrating our 10 years together on The Fan. Big party at Borgata, right?
Yeah.
DJing at Premier Nightclub, having a good time down there. The whole crew's going down. Good for the show. Right?
For the show.
How long do you think Bob is going to take paternity leave now that he and his wife had a beautiful baby?
Right. How long can he take?
He takes 6 weeks.
He gets 6 weeks paid, but he'll be back Wednesday.
Good for him. Congratulations on Bradley Wade, and by all counts, everything's going great.
Awesome.
Nice.
And they have a beautiful family. You think they'll pay him during paternity leave? Go ahead, Joe. Give us an update.
Go get pizza.
Yeah.
Bases loaded, two out. And now Carrasco ready to deal to Ellsbury. Swung on and hit in the air to deep right. Back goes Almonte on the track at the wall. And he can't make the catch. It hits the wall and rolls by him. Three runs have scored. Ellsbury goes to third. Ellsbury hit a three-run triple.
That is John Sterling on The Fan. You can certainly make the case that Abraham Almonte should have made that catch. He didn't. It snapped a 1-1 tie, made it 4-1. Yankees wound up beating the Indians 8-1. John Sterling with the call on The Fan. Joe Girardi hoping that this is Ellsbury breaking out.
I know he hasn't got a ton of hits, but I think he's hit the ball harder. So he just seems to be swinging the bat well.
And Luis Severino's throwing it well. 6 2/3, two-hit ball, 9 strikeouts for the win. His 9th win, 4-0 in his last 4 starts, ERA under 1 at .71. He's been that good. And, yeah, Aaron Judge did hit a home run.
Outside of your Yankee fans, Severino is not that I live anywhere else but here. You get the sense that he's like the underappreciated, you know, ace in baseball.
Agreed.
Because you ever think about Tanaka, you know, Sabathia was having a great year. But Severino is the best pitcher.
Well, you know what?
Team.
Here's the deal. Everybody's just waiting for it to, like, collapse. You know, they can't believe what they're seeing sometimes. And the big question for him is going to be whether or not this thing continues on. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it's funny you say that, because when he gives up the home run right out of the gate,
yep.
You're like, all right, here we go.
Right, exactly.
He shut it down.
He just kicked their ass.
He was awesome from that point forward. So the Yankees remain 3 games behind Boston because the Red Sox did beat the White Sox 6-3. Your boy Chris Young, I know you liked him for a while. He hit 2 home runs for the Red Sox, again, 6-game winning streak there. Then you had the Mets and Dodgers last night. And by the way, you should be all over this one. I was there last night.
Oh, were you?
There were significantly more Dodger fans than
sure
Mets. And I understand why. But it was embarrassing. I mean, they're chanting, let's go Dodgers. I mean, it was all for the upper. And I know it's Sunday Night Baseball. Nobody wants to be there.
Well,
the upper deck down left field, there's no one there. I mean, it was awful.
The Mets did two things this weekend that are worthy of a chat. Number one, I was not there. But they're down 3-0.
Is this last night?
Yeah. It was either the second or the third inning. And you hear, and I had the game on, and I walked out of the room for a minute, and I hear, you know, with the heavy, like, the drum, like, let's go, Mets. I'm like, wow, the crowd is really into it. I turn around, there's no one doing it. They were piping crowd effects into the stadium.
Well, no, but they do that every game. That's to get the chant going.
But the crowd wasn't chanting.
No, because we're all Dodger fans.
It was 3-0, and they were all Dodger fans.
It was dead.
Number two. And I don't even know, I'm not even sure the right thing to say about this. You know, they foobarred the whole thing with the Noah Syndergaard bobblehead. All right, it happens. So they came out with the dog tag that Cespedes wears.
It was Saturday night, I believe.
That became a huge problem for them.
Why now?
Because nobody under 14 was allowed to get one.
Oh.
So it was not for kids, apparently. Well, that means you have like a 65-year-old grandma rocking, you know, the
pendant,
dog tag.
The pendant, whatever, yeah. This.
And apparently people were very upset about this.
I wonder why.
I wasn't there. I just know I got a lot of
interesting
tweets and texts about it. Like, and again, it's always selfish. My kid didn't get one. Yeah, that kind of crap.
Yeah.
But it seems like the Mets just shouldn't do giveaways. Or just do enough for everybody.
But they don't do giveaways any different than any other team.
But it seems like, for whatever the reason is, I'm sure you're right.
It's all perception on your part.
It never goes well for them.
Oh, come
well,
on.
That's the people that are feeding you that. I mean, I don't know.
There's always going to be some complaint. Let's find Craig on Twitter and complain to Craig because we know he'll talk about it, especially if it involves the Mets.
Now, let me ask you a serious question. I don't know if they've done this or they haven't. Have they had an Aaron Judge bobblehead day yet at the stadium?
No, but that company that brought this one here, I guess they're just selling it.
So are they going to, when they do that, and I'm sure they will do that, are they going to do 49,000 Aaron Judge bobbleheads?
No, the last bobblehead the Yankees did, I think they did 18 or 19,000.
Right, which is standard.
But I forget, but it was like, I don't know who the hell it was.
No, but they're doing, and I only know because I was there last night, Cespedes is bobblehead night's coming up in a week or so.
Ooh, can't wait for that one.
Very up, first 15,000 fans.
Yeah,
that's pretty standard.
I have a problem with limiting how many people can get one.
Well, that's why I'm asking you about Judge.
I just think you should have enough for everybody. You know? Plus, what's interesting about it.
What is it? Nobody shows up.
Well, so you have them for next year. What's interesting about it, or you sell them yourself on eBay, is that when you say the first 15,000, you're encouraging people to get there earlier.
Yes.
To get there faster.
Yes.
Which happens to be against the law now. Because of Domino's Pizza and the lawsuits that took place when drivers had to get there within 30 minutes or less or the pizza was free, you are no longer allowed legally to encourage people to get there first, to be there faster, because there's the risk of some type of injury along the way.
Yeah, but in this case, you can leave earlier. It's not that you're trying to speed to get there.
Well,
I mean, the other thing,
sure
too, is that a federal law or is that a state law?
Good question. That I don't know.
And
the
if that's the
to.
Case, then every giveaway in baseball has to be wiped off the books. Then.
The way, unless you have enough for everybody.
And there you go. Yeah. Look at you. You just want to just ruin it all for everybody. There you go. That's what you do. You're a big ruin guy.
For everyone.
You're a ruin guy. Let me ruin it. I'll ruin it and I'll take credit for it.
So anyway, so yeah, the 8-0 was the final last night. Justin Turner, another home run. He had I think it's a 6 against the Mets and 79 at-bats or something like that. I was talking to Harris about it. It's ridiculous. Cody Bellinger hit his 32nd. And the interesting thing in this game, and then we got to wrap up, they had Darno throws out Justin Turner in the first inning that would have ended the inning scoreless. And it was one of those where he kind of slid around. The ball beat him by 5 feet, but he slid around it, and he refused to leave the base. So they review it. They overturn it. And then they score a few runs. And the game was over from that point forward.
And that was a good challenge in the whole bit.
It was, Mets Rangers tomorrow night. The Yankees tomorrow will play, I believe, in Toronto.
Yes.
So you've got that. And then just quickly with the football, as you know, obviously, Jay Cutler to the Dolphins, the one-year deal. Jalen Collins of the Falcons suspended last year 4 games for PEDs. Now 10 games this year as he fails another test. And I also didn't mention former Philly Darren Dalton passed away.
He did?
He had brain cancer for
55 years old.
The last 4 years.
Just brutal.
I think he was on with us a couple of years ago. He also, people thought that he had gone crazy, unfortunately. He had these very very specific beliefs in like the end of the world was coming and the Mayan math crap and all that stuff. And his friends thought that he needed mental help. And it turned out, I'm not sure if one had anything to do with the other. I don't know that. But he had brain cancer and fought it for the last 4 years.
Just awful. And at one point, I think in 15, he was diagnosed as cancer-free. But unfortunately for him, no. And Hideki Matsuyama wins the Bridgestone Invitational. There you go.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
So a dance breaks out.
Yes.
In the locker room.
Okay.
All right. And it's a line dance. Now, this is called camaraderie. This is the stuff you talk about that you miss from your NFL days. The stuff that, in some cases, separates good teams and great teams.
That's right. You got to come together sooner or later.
This is one of those moments where...
And Odell Beckham was leading it?
Odell Beckham started it, at least from the video I saw.
You know what that tells me?
Go ahead.
Odell Beckham Jr., next year, Dancing with the Stars.
I think at any point he ever wants to be on that show, he's on that show. 100%.
Next year. You watch.
So all I know is this, Boom, that the entire team was doing a line dance. All right? And they were all doing it. Slide to the left. They all slid to the left. Slide to the right. And I see it. I'm saying to myself, if I'm a Giant fan, that's the video I love.
It's kind of like what you see in the Cubs bullpen after the Cubs hit a home run right now.
Exactly right.
Right? They're all out there dancing, doing their thing and everything else. Yes.
Now, it started off with a shirtless Odell Beckham looking strong.
I'm sure. All right? Yeah, okay.
I want you to see this real quick.
Okay.
Here's how it all starts. All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hold on 1 second. I want to make it full screen for you.
Okay.
I wish I had the audio. Obviously, I do not have the audio.
Why don't you have the audio?
Because I can't play through my screen.
Okay.
All right, you see it there?
Oh, yeah.
There's Odell. Okay? He's just getting busy on the dance floor, right?
You know what I see right here?
A guy that can dance.
But I also, you know what I also see?
Yeah, go ahead.
I also see
a new
touchdown dance.
Maybe. You see, now the big guys, the little guys, they're all in unison.
That's
doing
great.
It.
That's awesome.
Like, is that like, to me, that's a team that.
Where's Eli Manning in this?
So I do not see Eli.
Where is Eli?
I did not specifically see Eli.
Eli's got to be in there,
but
man.
They broke into a line dance of 53 guys, as coordinated as anything I've ever
seen.
Could
you imagine if Eli were in the front of that? Could you imagine how those guys would love him?
They'd love him. Now, by
where
the way,
is he?
He might have been. I just didn't see him specifically there. But the whole team's dancing. dancing as a team.
Dancing as a team.
Which reminds me that we don't do enough of that here. The Boomer and Carton team.
Yes.
We've never had a line dance together. So I'm thinking next Friday at Borgata, since I'm DJing for an hour, I put that song on, and we do work. How do you feel about that?
Be like Men at Work.
I'm not going to play Men at Work in a club. I'm going to play that song.
No, I'm saying we would be like Men at Work.
Yes, but when you say Men at Work, I think of the group.
Yeah.
Here's Tommy and Marlboro on the fan. Tommy, good morning. How you doing, Spank?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Welcome
all right.
Back.
What's up, kid? Tommy?
Hey, I'm thinking about Mike's replacement. Last week we listened to Park Scott. I think he did a really good job, and I think you might want to think about pushing him along with your own Jerry Recco. It might be a good fit.
Well, I would say this about that, and I'm glad you called in. I heard some of it. I didn't hear every show. I don't think it's fair to anybody that has tried out for any show on this station to take calls commenting or critiquing the on-air performance of people who don't do this every day of the week, who are being given an opportunity to try new things, new partners, all that stuff. We just want whoever gets the job, you know, is good for the radio station, and we'll be supportive of it.
Yeah, we're going to embrace them, whoever it is.
I always feel weird when people do that.
But I think all
the
guys, personally, I think all the guys, I watched Mark and Jerry last week. And Jerry's ripping my head off of my bobblehead and all that other stuff.
What's that?
So I told him I was going to rip his nipples off when I came in to see him.
He ripped
today.
Off your bobblehead?
Yeah, whatever he was doing.
Well, he was trying to be a morning guy. Huh?
You know, this is not an easy thing to do for 4 hours, especially when you're not used to doing it.
Right.
And that's why, you know, thanks to Phil Simms, to Bill Cowher, to Bart Scott, to Governor Christie, to Chris Simms. I mean, all the guys that come in here and, you know, fill in and try to do their best, I think they're all talented in their own way. I think Bart Scott is one of the funniest human beings I've ever been around in my life.
I think he's a superstar in some capacity.
And this median for him is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, listen, I think highly of all the people that I've tried out. But I hate the notion of people calling in all day critiquing a tryout.
I know why you hate it.
I don't like it.
I know.
No, you don't know why. I don't think it's fair to the people that try out.
It's not fair.
Whether it's Kim Jones, whether it's Malusis.
We went through it,
whoever
too.
Whoever it is, I don't. You and I never tried out publicly.
Well, I did.
Yeah, that was brutal. I'm with you on that. You know what it's like. You've been in that spot. I really saved your ass.
No, you did.
10 years later, let's tell the truth.
I'm going to tell you the truth about what?
I'm just messing around. No, you did. You did it with Monica, right, Crowley?
I did it with Chris Russo, and I wanted to stick toothpicks in my eyes. I did it with Chris Collinsworth one day. It was great because he and I had a radio show back in New York, so that was fun. But it was kind of didn't fit the modicum here because he and I were, you know, technically ex-Bengals. And then I did it with Monica Crowley for 3 days. It was awesome.
I was told years later.
I learned a lot about
that. You and Chris Collinsworth at the time got serious consideration.
Yes.
But Chris, because of his TV desires.
And plus, he was living in Cincinnati.
Right, couldn't commit to living here. And doing that, but people liked it.
Yes.
But you guys did some of that stuff when you played or after?
Both. And it was 700 WLW. As a matter of fact, Chris took over for Bob Trumpy in Cincinnati. You know, everybody talks about Mike here, and Mike was a big reason here, Susan Waldman and Pete Franklin and everybody else. Bob Trumpy was doing this stuff out at 700 WLW in Cincinnati. And he was doing, I want to say he was like 6 to 10 at night. So it was
that's
like
the Gary, few shows that were on were, that's
right.
when they
he,
did
they
it.
Had a great afternoon guy out there, Gary Burbank, and he lasts forever. He was just fantastic radio guy, 700
but he wasn't
WLW.
A sports guy.
No, but it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of like Imus. You know, they'd have some sports in there and they'd have some
like
politics
talk,
and all that
local,
stuff, right? And then Bob Trumpy took over after he was done. And I think it was like 6 to 10 or 6 to 9. And he had a sports talk show that was second to none in Cincinnati. There
right.
was nobody could touch him. And because 700 was much like 660, a 50,000-watt station,
right.
you could hear it all over the Midwest, you know, after 9 or 6 o'clock in
the
evening.
Well, the three guys that back then, because you're talking as far back as the 70s.
Trumpy was a great broadcaster. And he was a great radio broadcaster.
You know, sadly, the guy that is forgotten, it shouldn't be, is Art Russ, because he was really, I know Bill Mazur did it on a different level and a different, I don't think Bill ever did it every night back in the day. He might have. But Art was the guy for New Yorkers. I mean, he was a staple at night. You had Pete Franklin, of course, in Cleveland. Yep. And then Trumpy came, I think, just after Pete in Cleveland. But those shows were always at night. Because back then, you're talking about in the 70s, even into the early 80s, nobody thought anyone wanted to hear about sports during the day other than maybe hear the scores from last night.
Everybody talks about why do all these Cincinnati Bengal players or ex-players get involved in broadcasting? You know, Solomon Wilcots, Chris, myself,
yeah.
Anthony Munoz, Sam Weish. Bob Trumpy was the guy who set the standard for that.
He paved the way that it could happen.
He did.
Right? Now, would he be critical of the Bengals?
Yes.
He would.
Oh, yeah.
God, he had the credibility to be critical.
We used to actually, well, we had some bad years, especially I think it was in during the strike season. No, he used to kill me, right? and I get all that stuff. We used to call him Bob Dump on Me.
Right.
He didn't care. No, he didn't care. You know why? Because he knew that's how he had
the credibility also.
Had he played? Yes.
I don't know. I don't remember there ever being a West Coast guy who had that same kind of, you know, historical name to him. I know that in the sports world, I know there have been guys like Ron Owens who've been out there doing talk out in San Francisco.
So
but
here
was
it is,
there
here
a sports
is.
Guy? I don't think there was.
Not that I can think of.
Bob Trumpy hosted a sports talk show on WLW AM in Cincinnati.
Right.
At 700 WLW from 1980 to 1989.
Yeah, so Franklin was on first and Art was on, I think, before both of them. Because that was why when the fans signed Pete Franklin, no one here had ever heard of him, but it was like signing, what's a good example? Like the very best of a limited genre,
yeah.
He was the guy, and he couldn't have been a bigger douche.
The interesting thing was, he was like a star at NBC, Bob Trumpy was. So after 1989, he left to go do Olympics, PGA
Did he
golf,
work with Dick Enberg?
Football. Yes, he actually did our Super Bowl, I believe. And on top of that, I think it was him. And on top of that, Collinsworth right then and there retired right around 1989, 1990.
Right.
He was the one that stepped into the WLW booth
for Trumpy,
and also became a broadcaster for NBC.
Well, there you go. So anyway, I appreciate everyone's got a lot of interest, of course, in what the fan does, middays, afternoons, nights, who knows what the hell's going on. I only make you one promise. Neither one of us are going anywhere for the next year. That's the only promise I can make you. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Let me rephrase that, because I got the shifty eyes there.
Shifty eyes, nothing.
I can only promise you that I'm not going anywhere.
No, I didn't
for the
say
next
anything.
Year.
I didn't say anything.
You might be doing something.
No. I didn't say anything. And believe you me, if I was ever going to do anything, I would tell you.
I know you would.
So don't look at me like I'm doing something without knowing I'm doing it.
Here's what's interesting. We've been for 10 years. And I'm not saying this for any reason other than it's factual.
I mean, I'm away from you for a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, thank God. And then you come back and you're already attacking me.
There's one topic he and I have never discussed privately or publicly. And that's contracts. Ever. Right?
Why should we?
No, I'm saying so. We have no idea what's going on other than I ain't going anywhere for the next year. That's it.
All right.
All right. August 20th will begin my last contracted year at the Fan.
Nice.
I'll tell you the truth.
Good for you.
All right. August 20th, I'm in my last year of having a contract.
Great.
So I can only promise you to August 19th of next year. Okay. That's all I got. Now, my phone exists. If they want to call it, it's right here.
Well,
I'll answer.
They're still trying to figure out whether or not they're going to pay Jerry.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Here's Jerry with an update.
All right, brought to you by Movon's MVP Collection. Stylish clothing for big and tall men available online at MVPCollections.com.
He's a good sponsor for our show, for our party.
Yankees beat the Indians 8-1 yesterday, and along the way, and maybe your boy Aaron Judge is a little slow since the All-Star break, but has hit a few home runs. I think it's now 5 since the break, and he got one yesterday.
Swung on and lined a deep right center field toward the gap. It's a base hit going over the wall for a 3-run home run.
Well,
I thought it was going to hit the wall. Oh. A line drive 3-run home run by Aaron Judge. Here comes the Judge. A 3-run blast. The Yankees have blown it open. They have an 8-1 lead.
That's John Sterling.
What happened to all rise?
Yeah, you know what? He probably did it, but we only have the 22-second clip. Okay. He probably got to that later.
He had no idea he was a home run.
All rise.
How do you expect a home run call?
Yeah. I mean, that ball just absolutely flew out of the park.
And he's hit a couple of these line drive home runs that don't look like home runs.
Hey, and Jerry, what's the exit velo on that?
114, actually.
Oh, it was?
Yes,
did you know that
it was 114? Because it was actually in the article. And I didn't realize this, and maybe it's all ballparks. I know the Yankees do it now. They put that on the scoreboard now.
Well, fans want information.
Maybe.
Fans don't want the way, the nice thing about that hit by Aaron Judge, it didn't look like he was trying to hit it out of the park. It looked like he was just trying to make contact with the ball. And before you know it, boom, it's out of the yard, as they say.
8-1 the final. Jacoby Ellsbury had the bases-clearing triple on a ball that Abraham Amonte probably should have caught, but
can
didn't.
Can I just say this right now?
Yeah.
For all Yankee fans out there that wanted to get rid of Chase Headley,
right. Are you talking about the one home run on Saturday?
No. The guy's had one bad month. That's it. Everything else, he's been.
That was it.
He's been a big part of the success of the Yankees this year.
And he's playing first base
well.
But
for all those Yankee fans that were calling in, you got to get rid of Chase Headley. You know, I want you to punch yourself right in the face.
I'm all about that Chase, about that Chase, Chase Headley. I'm all about that Chase, about that Chase, Chase Headley.
I had no problem with Chase Headley, and he moved to first base. Show me how easy it is.
His teammate.
It's not easy.
Did you
see Wilmer Flores last night? Oh, my God. Do I get it? Don't I get it? Oh, he'll get it. Oh, no one's going to get it. Base hit. Holy God.
You just have no idea.
In fact, if Wilmer Flores ain't paying attention, doesn't mean it's hard to play first
base. Lucas Duda for the Rays had a pick last week. Well, yeah, I mean, the guy's been on base every game since he's gone there.
That guy's unbelievable.
By the way, where do they send Addison Rae, Jerry?
We go Boston, right?
Yeah, and where do they send Lucas Duda?
Tampa.
I mean, could the Mets be more transparent about their hatred of the New York Yankees?
Well, they're doing what's best for the Mets.
They brought a bunch of guys batting 205.
That's okay.
Yeah, great trades. Oh, we hurt the Yankees.
Hold on.
Though.
No. Can't let you do that. The Addison Reed trade. The Addison Reed trade brought back three pitchers that were all within the top 15 or top 20 of Boston prospects.
I thought you had
for
five
Addison Reed. That's a good deal.
Now, let me ask you a question. Yes. Is there anything more transparent than your hatred for the Mets?
Yankee
Beyond!
Unbelievable. I'm trying to be as objective as I possibly can. Are you talking about Aaron Judge, talking about Chase Headley, punch yourself in your face, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
You just hate the Mets.
No, I don't hate
the Mets. It's unbelievable.
He hates Jeff Wilpon.
Here's a guy.
I don't like
Wilpon. Here's a guy, Mookie Wilson.
It's my favorite player of all time.
Let's
give Rosario his number.
Was that stupid song?
There's no problem with that.
There's no problem with that.
Absolutely not.
The greatest in-stadium songs of all time.
And Dwight Gooden is that they embarrassed themselves and the organization.
Okay. I don't disagree.
Stop.
I mean, you Mookie Wilson's like.
But this
who
is
Ahmed
Rosario. Well,
huh?
Yeah.
How about you show some at least some respect to the only age of baseball you've had in our lifetime?
You know, if those guys
worth talking
if those
about,
guys were Hall of Famers, that's one thing. They're not Tom Seaver, dude.
They're Met Hall
they're
of Famers.
They're not. Come on, stop.
What? Sadly, that's what it is. Val Despain, you want to be Mookie Wilson? Go right ahead. Hey, Tim Tuffy, you want to wear Straw's number? Go right ahead. Who's now? What's next? Right? They don't even acknowledge Tom Seaver ever played for him.
That's not true. I went through the Seaver gate last night.
The Seaver gate.
I did.
They got a Gil Hodges VIP entrance.
Yeah. I went through the Seaver VIP entrance.
They didn't even have a Seaver parking lot.
I didn't know they were named.
They're
you
not.
Know what? I'm not going to argue this with you.
They should
just,
have a statue.
It's
though.
Obvious that you have a just a
an agenda against one particular
you Yankee biatch.
And you tell the governor everything about the Mets. His mouth
Yankee biatch.
Yankee biatch. Yankee biatch. Screaming and yelling. In. Stop it.
By
just
the way,
stop.
You got to call the governor for me. I need to find out about the party at the beach.
That's back on?
Well, I got word this morning that we are not going to Vegas in any official capacity.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you heard about that. I imagine you probably did.
No, no, nobody has told me anything.
I found out today. They made a decision on Friday.
Okay.
So maybe that's why you haven't heard yet. Off air, I'll walk you through the...
gymnastics of that?
Through the comical reasons behind the no. But
does it have something to do with money?
Yes. That just means that it's beach party time on.
So?
That's right.
So what?
Oh, are you attacking me like I'm a fan wearing a Chicago Cub jersey? Is that right? Not on this, not on my watch,
God
sir.
God almighty.
All right, what else you got?
So the Yankees 3 games behind the Red Sox still. Boston beat Chicago 6-3. That's the White Sox. Mets lost to the Dodgers, who are just a machine right now. 8-0 was the final. The Dodgers are 44-7 in their last 51 games. It's incredible. Justin Turner and Cody Bellinger at home runs in this game. Hyunjin Ryu, 7 innings, 1 hit ball, 8 strikeouts,
one
no walks.
Ball.
It was embarrassing. Now, the Mets hit a few balls hard, but
yeah, they
couldn't get on base. I mean, it was awful. Here's Steven Matz. He's been miserable. How does he stay confident going forward?
It's a good question. Just trusting what you got and knowing that, you know, the stuff is still there.
No, Terry Collins made it very clear. The minors is not the place for him.
No, I know, because who are you bringing up for him?
He said that. Right. Exactly. That was part of it. So he's not going anywhere. Mets Rangers tomorrow night. Matz did allow 5 runs over 5 1/3.
Your fastest fastball is 94 miles per hour right down the pike.
I'll ask you this. What do you think about the acquisition of A.J. Ramos for the Mets?
Don't know yet.
Well, that's a future. That's going to pay dividends more next year, I would think.
Right. You would hope so when they're actually relevant. And good again.
I don't know if this is accurate
and
or not.
I understand what Sandy Alderson is doing. He's like, hey, this guy's available. Let me see if I get him in my pen. And now, essentially, I'll have 2 closers next year.
I read something online, so I'm not going to tell you it's accurate. Did you know that from the opening day Met roster, every single player but one has spent time on the DL?
I believe that.
You believe that?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
Jay Bruce, the only one that hasn't?
Rene
Rivera, huh? Part-time player.
Right, not even a full-time guy.
Right.
That every single player has missed action.
I believe that.
It's crazy.
I mean, we've lived it every day.
Yeah.
Darren Dalton passed away at the age of 55 after a battle with brain cancer since 2013. The Dolphins signed quarterback Jay Cutler, 1-year contract, $10 million. Do I have time for one clip?
Yeah, of course.
Just because I found this funny.
Set it up.
So this was the Hall of Fame inductions on Saturday in Canton. Jason Taylor was one of several. You know, Jerry Jones, LaDainian Tomlinson, blah, 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 blah. Here was Taylor, though, reliving his time in Washington briefly.
Dan Snyder, I had a good talk with Dan last night. Thank you for the opportunity to come to Washington. I know I didn't give you much, 2.5 sacks. Stole a lot of money from you, but I appreciate it. Hey, I'm just being honest.
Now, that is honest. Now, if you're Dan Snyder, though, aren't you just, sick to your stomach?
No, I think he probably
Deion Sanders stole
him.
Money from him. Albert Haynesworth stole money from him.
Yeah.
Jason Taylor stole money from him.
A lot of people have.
He is just, God, what a mess.
So that was part of the weekend.
He's like the
though.
Jim Dolan of the NFL, right? People just take advantage of the deep pocket.
It seems like it.
Right?
Terrible.
But he also wants to write the check, so what do you... it doesn't.
But he's also involved, you know, and it's... It's almost like the Trump White House. You're here one day, and you're gone the next. Bye. I mean, man,
that was
it's a tough one.
It's firm, right? The kind of thing that warrants 17 days off so that you can unwind after that type of debacle.
Yes.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
It came to light that your free-spirited rookie Jamal Adams of the New York Jets basically said... essentially, I would die on the football field would be the best place for me to go.
Right.
And then, of course, everybody's got to completely freak out over the whole thing. And I'm sitting there going, this kid's 21 years old.
Right.
He absolutely loves and adores the game of football. Loves playing it, knows that he's one of the best at it, and also knows that he is one of the, I would tell you, 2 to 3 best rookies in this year's class.
Okay.
And he played at LSU, this is a way of life.
Yeah.
This is something that, you know, and then of course, you know, Michael Bennett out there in Seattle, he seems to be the go-to guy now for everything that is, you know, if you want a different opinion or something. And he puts himself out there on Twitter, which is good. That's great. But I look at it as youthful exuberance.
I don't get why you're such a big deal.
A guy that's really passionate. Well, then the discussion was, you know, people in the crowd that heard him say this with the commissioner up on stage and everything else. And the commissioner's obviously battling all the CTE and the concussions and all that stuff. You know, they actually cheered for him
when he said that. I read the whole thing as it happened. And ironically, he got hurt a couple days later with the ankle. But I don't know how his comments, which were not offensive to anyone in particular.
Well, they were then, you know, offensive
to
people.
His father played football.
Right.
Did he
but
not?
I think they're offensive to some folks who are dealing with,
players
that have CTE or have died and, you know, given their brains
He's a 21-year-old kid saying, convey, and I know they got to him. They tried to recraft it so he could make sure no one was offended by it. Here's a 21-year-old kid who's a stud football player, whose father played professional football, who loves the sport, who's just conveying the overall feeling of being a football player. And his true love in life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the passion of being a football player. Right? The fact that we live in a world where Jamal Adams had to then sit down with the PR director of the New York Jets and actually explain the comments and repackage them is beyond stupid. I feel bad for the Jets because someone got them to make him do it. I feel bad for Jamal, and I feel bad for myself.
Why do you feel bad for you?
I feel bad for me because no matter what you do when you open your mouth, some a-hole is going to be offended by it, and you have to curry to that one a-hole who had, for some reason, woke up on the wrong side of the bed and had some kind of problem or sensitivity to everything.
Well, the point being is Michael
Bennett. Go to Twitter where all the other a-holes go and bitch and moan about what people say there. Jesus Christ. Is that really where we're at?
Holy God, I didn't realize I was going to elicit this sort of response.
No, because I had on my list of things to get to if it came up.
I actually understood the kids where he was coming from.
Everyone understood it.
I am not in any way, shape, or form criticizing him for what he said. I was just bringing it up saying,
the whole thing is stupid.
But the way people reacted to it that were there clapping for him and everything else. And as, you know, many Jet fans, I think Joe Beningo was talking about it. He goes, look, this is how I want my player to think. This is my guy on my team, and he plays a very physical position, and I need him to be physical.
Here's the quote. Literally, if I had the perfect place to die, I'd die on the field. Oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. Oh, no. Oh, boycott the Jets. Don't buy those stupid airplane ticket packages, whatever it is.
Flight plan.
I mean, and by the way, he ain't got nothing to apologize for to anybody.
Right.
He really doesn't.
And you're going to tell him that this
week,
right? What
did he say that was so
offensive?
Let me
ask you a question. Do you think that Bruce and the boys over there are going to allow him to come on the radio station
by the way,
with us?
I hope they do.
They better.
How
do you not put your number one draft pick on the station so millions of people can hear him?
And I'm supportive of the kid.
Yeah, we are, of course.
Hey, Al, you call Bruce right now and tell him Jamal Adams on the show on Thursday. That kid gets a hug. Think about it for a minute.
I know.
You're the sixth pick in the draft. You come out of LSU.
And you're 21 years old.
You're 21. Now, again, this is important. Your father played.
And you're making $20 million.
And you're making a lot of money.
Yes.
And you are everything
this is what you
we
live
as
for.
Fans want.
Yes.
You love it. You are a football player, and you love it, right?
Right.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that.
So check out Michael Bennett's response.
Whoa!
He goes, I'm not dying for that.
Okay. Crap. Bad guy.
Yes.
Right.
No, not bad guy.
Oh, for that
just,
crap.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, the way he put it. Yeah.
Listen, and it's got nothing to do with the families of the men who have sadly taken their own lives or lost their lives. They ain't got nothing to do with it.
It's just him talking about himself.
It's a 21-year-old kid who says, you know what? That's nirvana. That field is my everything.
Yes.
And if I went out doing the thing I love the most, I'm good with that. How can that possibly be a problem for anybody?
You know what I thought after that?
What?
I thought, you know what? If I die wearing my Wasp hockey jersey on a, in a Wasp hockey championship game, I think I could be happy with that.
No, you wouldn't.
What do you mean?
Because you have to think.
I'd have to score. I'd have to score.
Here's the problem for you.
Score! And then go. I mean, maybe I might be okay.
I think that's where you. I think you have to take stock of your life.
Okay.
And I think just based on the accomplishments you've had as an athlete, forget about anything else.
Yeah.
Forget about cystic fibrosis. Forget about family. As an athlete.
Yes.
Do you realize how sad that would be?
Why?
If a former NFL MVP.
Yeah.
Died on some rink in Long Island.
Iceland.
On the Wasps. That's not the storyline you need, man.
Maybe if I died, you know, maybe at Northwell, that would be nice. That's a nice place.
I mean, if you want me to start thinking about the places.
Like, if you were going to have to die somewhere, where would you want to die?
That's a tough one. I knew you'd throw it back at me. And
I would think you'd be at a blackjack table.
No. You can't. With all those chips on the table.
And you kill over. Yeah,
no, I can't have that.
How about you, Al? Al, where would you die? I know where Al would die.
He's going to die alone at home.
No, he's going to die in his basement because he's been emptying it for about a month now.
No, still?
Yeah, still empty. He keeps sending me stuff. Like, look what I found.
What do you mean he's sending you stuff? What does that mean?
Well, like I text him photos of interesting things from the NFL from the 80s that I have.
Not for nothing. I don't know your business, but
yes.
What size basement is this?
It's a good size basement.
I mean, it's been going on for a month. That's the point. So where would you want
to
die?
I would like to die on my birthday.
At the Jersey Shore? Where?
In my home, peacefully, as they say.
In the condo.
Yeah, like watching television.
Or in your second home down
in
Jersey.
So you are a slow death. Not one of those like bedridden for months.
No. I'm enjoying television, and then I just pass.
How about you, walking a dog, Eddie, or what?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Well, then the dog's got to do something about it.
What's the dog going to do?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Your lifeless body's on the sidewalk in Staten Island. This poor dog is trapped underneath you. It's like a 2-for-1 special.
So do you have an answer or no?
I don't. I wish I did.
Maybe at a restaurant. I would think at a restaurant after you've ordered like 97 things off the
like choking on food.
Or like with a hoagie in his mouth.
A hoagie in his mouth?
A hoagie.
First off, where do you live?
New Jersey.
It's a hero.
Where do you work?
New York City.
It's not a hoagie.
Submarine sandwich.
Shame on you.
It's a hero.
Call it a hero.
You call it a hero.
You just call it a sandwich if you want.
No,
it's not a hoagie here.
You know what's stupid when people call it a wedge?
No, what's stupid is when people who work and live in New York call it a hoagie. That's stupid. Or a grinder. Oh, you heated it up. Yeah, I know that Quiznos is out of business.
All right, so what's going on?
We have turkey like they got turkey, but ours is hot. Oh, my God.
So what's going on?
Huh?
Where are you gonna perish?
No, I'm pissed off about this, Jamal Adams.
Why?
Because
shouldn't be pissed
you
off.
Can't
it's
be
fine.
Offended by everything.
Well, everybody's offended by something.
You know, and then you have these morons that do these, like, two guys yelling at each other TV shows, which we know nothing about, or these, like, round table discussions. Jamal Adams, devil! You know, oh, no!
Yes.
That kind of crap.
Right, you know what I mean? Got you.
Jamal's, who did he offend? What group of people are so offended that I need First Take, Around the Douche, and everything else yapping about it? Morons.
Well, we're kind of talking about it right now and yapping about it, right?
No, I'm giving you the side that the 99% of Americans have to agree with.
Americans.
Yes, Americans. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Like, you can't be offended by everything.
No.
And yet, people are offended by everything. Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
We're living in a very offensive time right now.
Yeah, but I don't get that.
I don't know.
I don't get it at all. I really don't. You know, it's like if you're miserable, be miserable by yourself. You know, this poor kid. What has this kid done wrong that he now has to be at the center of some type of nonsense? Seeing as you know his name bantied about as you know the horrendous comments, the controversial comments.
All right. Well, so
what's next? He didn't bring Colin Kaepernick with him, so he's terrible. Huh?
Yes.
Give me a break.
People are offended by that because he's
remember,
being blackballed.
With all due respect to the whole CT thing.
Yes.
You know, these reports that come out, it ain't like they took 10,000, you know, samples, right? And you can't even know this person has it currently until they're dead, unfortunately.
So, you know, the NFL players that have basically reached a concussion settlement, right? So you had to opt in, I think, before August 7th.
Right.
So I had to opt in last week, and I had to talk to a lawyer about it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You have to. I mean, you just said, so if something happens where, you know, you have Parkinson's, you have dementia, maybe you
there's
have Alzheimer's, there's a $5 million payout, and, you know, you're not a burden to your family, and, you know, you have really no choice but to opt into the settlement.
Today was the deadline, I guess.
Yeah, but as I understand this whole settlement, let's say 10 years from now, they'll be able to diagnose whether or not you have CTE while you're alive.
Okay.
That won't matter. That's basically carved out. The only people that are receiving anything for CTE are the players that have unfortunately passed away, and they're using CTE as the reason as to why.
Okay.
So you know, guys like, I'm sure, like Junior Seau or somebody
counts.
Else, self-inflicted counts. So that, however, for the players moving forward,
go ahead,
no longer counts in this settlement.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
So if you played up to a certain date and also opted in as of today.
I want to say it's like up to 2015.
Got
so,
it. All
so
right.
Now after anything, any diagnosis of CTE after 2015.
Too bad. Well, again, and there's no current diagnosis while living. It's a posthumous study.
So too bad.
Right.
So in other words, if I, you know, died tomorrow and my brain basically was taken and researched and I was found to have CTE, which most likely I have.
Why do you say that?
Because I think all football players probably have it. The way I read it and the way I see it.
You think you have some level of it that maybe hasn't manifested itself yet?
I wouldn't doubt that you have some level of it because you were an athlete at one time. You played soccer. You've had a head injury. You've had a number of concussions yourself.
Right.
You might have had a car wreck where you hit your head or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if you had it as well.
I snowboarded once and slammed the back of my head into the ice.
Yeah, so I wouldn't doubt that you have some sort of form of it as well. But we don't know all the answers.
Sure.
And then the thing that I appreciate more than anything, especially being in the world of Tourette's like you are, the world of cystic fibrosis or even cancer, the more we learn about our brains, the better it is for the guys who are playing today. The good news for the guys who are playing today, especially the guys who play a long period of time, they get paid a hell of a lot more money than we ever did.
Yep. I mean, that is a side part. That's an important part of it
as well.
And
they have much better benefits and retirement benefits than we do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.